Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast returns. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron, will be joining me shortly. Well, here we are. Three games left after that despicable display of, I don't even want to go into it, but we got to a little bit. Unfortunately, here we are, 21-7, Thursday, a couple of days after a horrendous outcome, especially on offense, obviously. So much so that Coach Flip is out. Flip out. That's what the press, that's what the headliner is. Flip out. Coach Flip and his fancy offensive plays. No, I'm just playing. I'm not really, but I'm kind of playing. He's gone. He is gone. Out of here. I guess you kind of see the writing on the wall to an extent. The fact that we still remain a wild card team. That's what's crazy about this right now. All the four teams, really five, I guess, if you add Seattle, right in a bunch a little bit. Obviously, us and Seattle, right, you know, 5-6. Basically, the bottom four teams after Seattle, just no one won at all. They all just shit on themselves. So, I guess that's positive. Is that a positive? We might have to find a positive in our Gopher segment at the end of the show. But anyway, clearly we're going to have to talk a little bit. Interim offensive coordinator, Stefanski, I think that's how you say. Good old Kev. He's been with the squad for quite some time. Obviously somewhat important because Zimmer did block, I believe, an interview in the off season. But anyway, we're going to start this Purple People Eaters podcast episode with just a little bit of recap of just a horrible, horrible outcome. Another game that's right there for the taking. Patriots game the week before. Yep, it was there for the taking. The Saints, the Rams, the list goes on and on. The Bears even for a little bit in that, or for a chunk in that game, that's for sure. It's just right there for the taking, but we just can't get over the hump. So we're going to talk a little bit about that game. Of course, we're going to talk about the game coming up against the Miami Dolphins this Sunday. That's right. It's on a Sunday, and it's high noon. For some, it will be high noon. So if I wasn't working, it'd be high noon. So we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna try to get off of that negativity that we got to start with. Like I said, we're definitely gonna talk about the former offensive coordinator flip out and the new one coming in to an extent anyway. And just, you know, a variety of stuff. What the hell was that? Something isn't turned down correctly. This is getting silly. This is just bad. Our offense has been bad. We knew that. But, man, it just seems like it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. So, yeah, we're definitely going to have a little bit of a Gopher segment. Usually we'd be talking Gopher football. That's what we've been doing all year. At the end of the podcast, by the way, we figure if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, we'll keep it Vikings. pretty much the whole podcast. At the end, we do a Gopher football segment. So we'll talk a little Gopher stuff. We'll throw in a little basketball stuff since the Gopher football isn't really, you know, popping off just yet before the bowl season, you know, cranks up. So, you know, there's a list of negativities on offense, obviously. The passing game. It's funny that the passing game all of a sudden, you know, went awry last week as well. As I said, dreadful again on offense. Cousins is now seeing ghosts, something we haven't seen a ton of until now. I was wondering when that was going to happen with all the pressure that we see. And frustrating as always, the defense played good enough. Sure, they gave up some chunk plays on the ground, but they played good enough. They played good enough. In fact, Anthony Barr definitely shined, that's for sure. So we're going to go over a variety of topics as we break down the ugly display and hopefully, you know, a better display on Sunday at home against the Dolphins, who are looking for a playoff berth as well. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, right now. What's going on, Aaron? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. So it looks like we're at the Alamo, huh? Like, it's make or break time here, high noon on Sunday. Wish we were playing Houston, Alamo team would come in a little bit better. But, yeah, man, it was a rough game. I thought the defense played extremely well. Kept us in there. It was, 6-0 up until pretty late in the third or the fourth. So, yeah. You know, I had no problems with them. They made the adjustments they needed to make and pretty much held Seattle to just nothing. And that was impressive. I felt really bad for them because the offense just couldn't do anything. Just repeated three and outs, repeated incompletions, repeated breakdowns in the offensive line where Remmers just gets trucked again. It was just not a good sight to see overall. You know, we tried to run the ball. They saw it coming. They knew it was coming. Telegraphed everything. So it's been an interesting display. We said we kind of know what we were dealing with coming up this week as we pass that Seattle game. And now we're looking dead in the eye, and a lot of us really don't like what we see.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to bring that up, too, that we were like, all right, after this week, we're really going to get a good picture of what we're working with here. And, well, we got a freaking full picture of it. That's for sure. It's spilling over so much so. Just ugly. And like you said, the defense definitely, sure, you know, that 40-yard run, you know, by the QB, okay, shit happens. You know, they did give up a couple chunk plays rushing, but that offense was percolating on the way into that game for Seattle. And the team itself had been playing very well, still playing very well, obviously. So to contain them, those 21-7, if you just woke up and thought, oh, man, that was ugly. Well, it was still ugly, but it wasn't – that didn't, you know, tell the tale of the score, like you said. But, well, the good news, I do have some good – I found some good news, Aaron. I found some good news.
All right.
We didn't have a three and out in the whole game. Of course, that doesn't really matter because we had a bunch of four and outs. We literally punt, end of half, punt, turnover on downs, turnover on downs, missed field goal, fumble touchdown, and a late-ass touchdown that doesn't even matter. That was our offensive possessions. First four drives, 19 plays, 72 yards. 72 yards, my fault, at half for four drives. On four freaking drives, 19 plays only. That's not much, obviously, but only 72 yards. At the end of the third quarter, we're looking at a 119. I mean, neither side could really pass the ball, obviously, so that's not the end of the world. It was just one of those type of games. But, man, you know, it's funny, too, because the first drive, something we've been talking about for quite some time, Aaron, we rolled out, you know, the quarterback. We had him on the run a little bit. It was like, oh, wow, okay. Oh, Cook is rushing the ball. Here we go. The first and second drive, really. But it just led to nowhere. It's like a bridge to nowhere. You know, I do remember, you know, Anthony Barr shining throughout the game, especially on a third and one kind of early in the game, made a really nice tackle to force a punt. You know, we talked about Joseph last week and how we feel like he's still banged up. We didn't really hear much. Then he missed that game, and we're like, what? We didn't even know he was really hurt. And sure enough, he missed a couple of plays that he doesn't normally do. I hate to just bring that out, though, just because, you know, obviously they play good enough. But it is something telling, that's for sure. Seattle's defense started getting the hits, started getting key sacks, and just pressures in general. There was a couple of missed, you know, calls from the referees again. Obviously early, like not that early in the game, but still first half. Totally missed a face mask from Murray on that catch and run. The only problem is that's where the Cousins seeing ghosts, something we haven't seen at a rapid amount anyway in a game, or, you know, a numerous amount of them. I mean, he gave that ball to Murray. And at the start, when I didn't see the end there, I thought, oh, this is great. Oh, wait a second. But, you know, Murray made a good play or whatever. But you had Thielen running wide open. But, of course, he had to maneuver, and then just dumped it. Didn't take that extra, you know, look. And if he had, that would have been a first down with a bullet. You're starting to see, like I said, Thielen not only seeing ghosts, but – he's not getting to that third and fourth read like we saw him earlier in the season for most of the season. In fact, some people are like, hey, throw the ball quicker, you know. Now he's throwing it quicker, and it's not necessarily a good thing. I thought a killer, you know, and just kind of sums up how we are doing in this game, obviously offensive to blame. But when Kendricks bobbled that interception that otherwise – had a pick six written all over it. I mean, it is a long field at that point, and he's not like a sprinter. So maybe if we didn't have the right convoy to get us all the way down there, who knows? But either way, it was just like one of those, oh, God, we almost had it. But once again, the defense held. It just, you know, we've broken down this freaking short yardage all fucking season, Aaron. And when your best short yardage play is a tricky cook go right or cook go left or just find a little gap and dive in it, when that's your best short yardage play, you're in a whole lot of trouble on offense.
Yeah, you really are. And, you know, I think we ran that quarterback sneak finally after I've been kind of begging for it all year just because we haven't done it and we got 4 yards of pop on it. So I thought really that turned out to be our best short yardage play. Now going into the next game, it probably won't be. But, you know, looking at, like you're saying, missing receivers and not going through reads, and Kirk's in a really tough situation where he's got to, like, balance, you know, chance of turnover versus chance of sack versus chance of broken ACL. Or, you know, he's in a tough spot. He's got a bad line. We all know that. We could talk a little bit about, you know, why didn't we make adjustments in the offseason as far as the offensive line? Did we think that we already had done that? Did we think we could get away with it again? I don't know, but it seems to be the recurring theme of the season, and in fact, maybe two or three seasons now. We had kind of a magician last year with Keenum who could kind of work around that, but Kirk's not that guy. And, you know, he's, like we said before, he's a drop-back guy. You need to protect him. And frankly, we just can't do that this year. Short yardage has been a problem for us all season long, and it's really kind of gotten to a point where you just, you know, you can't get any push. It's glaringly obvious. You know, I said last week, well, let's run the ball because we've been throwing. Well, that had no success. I mean, as soon as Murray got the ball on a couple of those third and shorts, he wrapped up by five or six Seahawks. So there's a definite issue there, and I know Zimmer's made a point of goal line and short yardage stuff throughout his tenure here, and it's gotten to a point where, you know, it had to have been some flips, got to be some the line, it's got to be a combination of a lot of things. I certainly hope the team isn't split. I certainly hope the team isn't split offense and defense. That's poison. So I hope, you know, Zimmer's always asked for complimentary football. He's not getting it from the offensive side and from special teams furthermore. So I think him and his defense feel a little alienated. Heard a lot of complaints about Zimmer this week. I'm not buying it. I think Mike's a good coach. I think he knows what he's doing. I think he's got himself in maybe a bad hire with DeFilippo. He went ahead and made the change he had to make, as difficult as it was. I didn't see him doing it. I was surprised, as I'm sure you were. But
yeah.
Afterward, I said, okay, you know, that's a move. That's a move that you got to make, you know, before things get worse. You already had players yapping back, like Diggs and Thielen and a few
yeah,
others.
Yeah, those arms
about,
are going up pretty quick, huh? Those arms are going
yep.
up real quick all of a sudden. Like, what the hell? What the hell?
Yep.
I'm wide open. Like, uh-oh.
Yep, and you just kind of have to nip things like that in the bud, and I think he did that. I'm thoroughly on the Zimmer bandwagon. I think you are too. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. You know, a couple years down the line, if we're still trying to figure something out, and maybe he has to give up, you know, play calling defensively. Maybe that's something, you know, we're in the game. He can focus on offense a tad more. I don't know what it is, but, yeah, I'm definitely not jumping off the bandwagon whatsoever. I mean, you look at these games, like I said, I mean, they're right there for the taking. It was the defense held. There was even a pass interference call that was bullshit because the ball, it wasn't catchable. It was out of bounds. It was on Rhodes. But that got him all the way down there. And the defense still holds, so you're looking at 13 minutes left, it's 6-0. I mean, we go all the way down the, you know, we go all the way down the field and turn it over on downs right in, like, right on the doorsteps. So, no, I mean, we're just a little bit away. Sure, we got that long 48-yard reception where Diggs went up and made a play. We did actually start to get the play action going. Obviously, too little, too late. There was that rookie tight end had kind of a key drop. That kind of hurt us. But, yeah, it's definitely not, you know, one person. And, by the way, Joseph overall, though, I picked that out because I saw the notes, but I forgot right underneath it, though, to reiterate, he did actually have a pretty damn solid game. I just saw two missed tackles early in the game. Like, oh, man. But the more I looked at it, and I forgot a little note as the game wore on, he actually started making plays, and he actually I think he led us in tackles. So I wanted to make sure we got that out there. But no, I'm not going anywhere with Zimmer. A lot of people are just knee jerk. They just get too emotional about this stuff. And you just, nope, nah, screw it. Just like, the Timberwolves, right? Everybody, oh, we're better without Butler. We're better without Butler. And now we got a three-game losing streak, and people are like, man, I don't know. It's like, well, which one is it, dude? Just calm down. Just take a couple of breaths. But obviously, as far as Zim, he wants more balance on offense, clearly. He did complain about too much volume in the playbook, even a couple of those running plays. Or like maybe the first 5-6 games of the season, it just took too long to you know, in the backfield you had too much stuff going on, misdirection, trickery, like you mentioned, a variety of times. He kind of threw that out, but it's still there was some running plays that, sure, we're not just going to go right up the gut every time, but sometimes it takes a little bit longer in the backfield for it to develop, and when you already can't block anybody, it's like Cook's getting the ball or Murray's getting the ball, like you use the example of Murray, and boom, you're getting hit. And it just, I don't know, the play action, we're literally the worst team in the league now with play action attempts and all that. We're horrible at it this year. We were one of the best last year, period. I just think it's, whether it's philosophy, whether it's match, we talk about Jimmy Butler and Covington in a match. Well, this kind of plays into it as well. Now, he did the hiring. He actually went out of his way to hire the guy. Remember, he flew out there, and it was a big, big deal. And, you know, we were chunking the ball all around early in the season, and we knew that probably wasn't going to last if we wanted to be a very good team. Not just a good or very good to great. If you want to be up there in the ranks at the end of the year, you know you got to mix it up in general. But, you know, it helped somewhat. Cousins wasn't here, sure. But it does help somewhat that we've at least – we have some veterans that have – like a lot of this team has gone through this before when, you know, North Turner, Town, however that went down, whether, you know, he got fired or is a meat mutual, whatever, they, you know, decided to date other people. However, him and Zibber, you know, that little issue they had, that was gone. So at least with the Shermer taking over and then taking over full time, this really does give Kevin Stefanski a chance. And this guy's been here through three different head coaches. So you know this guy's got to be something. I mentioned earlier, this has been mentioned a lot too out there in general, that, you know, he obviously we valued this guy because we wouldn't allow anybody to, you know, check on him, to even interview him. His contract is up at the end of the year. So it has shades of that, and we did kind of feel like, hey, maybe this is going to be a rental with Flip. And I remember having conversation, in fact, our last show, we had a conversation about that, and I guess we don't have to worry about that one, huh? Because Flip's gone. Flip is out. What are your thoughts, though, as far as him taking over? You know, a lot of people are talking about Shermer and him, how they're a little bit more on the same page as far as how they want to operate. They also, Zimmer made it clear that, you know, Cousins is actually going to get some say now. And that was what was big with Shermer, not just the quarterback, but even Diggs and Thielen talked about that. But especially the quarterback saying, all right, these are the strengths. These are, you know, we got the pros and cons, strengths and weaknesses. Let's highlight the strengths, try to get better on the weaknesses, work on them, but let's design something for that. And the way it sounds like, you know, Flip, who a lot of people think they're going to be a head coach here soon, it was kind of his way or the highway. How do you feel about some of the things that we now hear and just kind of the ongoing kind of internal stuff that we saw once in a while, whether it's in the offense or Zimmer, you know, hinting at stuff. And then, you know, with Stefanski coming in and, you know, maybe in the long run, this might just work out.
Sure. Well, Stefanski, to be honest, I don't think anybody knows a heck of a lot about him. He's been around the facility for a very, very long time. Been through, like you said, maybe three head coaches. So he's seen what works and he's seen what hasn't worked. Now, that's good. I mean, he saw what Shermer did. He saw what Norv did, and he's seen what DeFilippo did. And I'm sure he could cherry pick what he likes out of that. My concerns with him are that he just has no experience of in-game play calling. Yeah, that could be overrated. That could be underrated. There is an art to it, and art takes time. So, you know, he said he's been doing it in his head since he's been here, and he kind of has an idea of what he'd like to do and how to do that. So we'll see if there's any problems with substitutions or getting the play in on time, all those type of things. But I like it because I feel like, look, it had to go one way. I'm going to advance kind of a conspiracy theory here and see how – it's just kind of a thought that's gone through my head is like, you know, perhaps – and this is just perhaps because I don't have any information or inside information, but, you know, is it possible that Stefanski maybe undercut DeFilippo a little bit and, you know, kind of, well, he's doing this and I would do that. And you know what I'm saying? Kind of a little thing there and kind of, you know, maybe push the progress along. I know Stefanski was in the running for that job and didn't get it and then was blocked to go off with Shermer. And then so the new guy comes in, and everybody's known Stefanski for a long time. So, you know, anything like that can happen. They're human beings. But, you know, I'm interested to see. I think they're going to come out and play well. I think he's good at his job. He's shown that everybody has a lot of confidence in him. So I really think they're going to have a good showing, whether it's just one or whether it's two or it goes on to be good. I think that's probably remains to be seen. But I've got a lot of confidence going forward. I was going to piggyback off what you said about the offense and where it maybe went wrong. And I'm thinking back to like Chicago on the road seemed to be where they kind of exposed our line. And like I had said then on that show, I thought to myself that, Jesus, going forward, this is going to be pretty tough to hide the deficiencies in that line. And I think that's really come to fruition. Everybody seems to be attacking the offensive line being aware of the fact that they're a bit porous and just kind of doubled up on that, where maybe they gave him a little credit before that, but then after that game, it just seems like it's been downhill and worse every week as far as getting any push or moving. So there needs to be some substantial changes, maybe not in personnel, but perhaps in the system. Maybe get away from the zone blocking a little bit, go back to a lot of the trapping and the pulling. Another point I wanted to bring up was how the schedule actually worked out during the year. Yes, it was a tough first-place schedule, but if you look at it, the way we looked at it the beginning of the season, the teams that were supposed to be bad and we were supposed to get wins ended up being pretty good football teams. Chicago, a few of those other squads in there where we kind of penciled in wins. Well, it turns out they turned out to be pretty good teams. So kind of our schedule is really nasty. If you go back and you look at it with what you know now, it's a tough schedule all the way through the season. I mean, the road games, the night games,
even the
we're
Dolphins
playing, when
right
we're
now.
Playing them.
The Dolphins,
even the
are,
Dolphins
coming
are coming
in one
up.
Game over 500 too. You're right.
It's been tough all year, and you know, with the exception of the Bills who beat us, the Jets who are the Jets and have remained the Jets, and maybe the Arizona Cardinals.
The Niners
were supposed to be good. They're not as good, but when we played them, they had all their full complement there. We played them the first week of the season. So our schedule has just been really rough. So you know, that's add a little positivity as far as that's concerned. And then the other point I wanted to bring up quickly before I hand it back to you is, you know, how much do you think that DeFilippo was hired just so he could give him the secrets on how bad he beat us last year in the NFC Championship game? I think that's something Mike Zimmer's like, well, how the hell did that happen? I got to hire this guy, get him in here, and see how the hell he pulled that one off. And so he did that.
Pick his brain.
Pick his brain a little bit about
– take
right,
this zone blocking with you.
I'm sure he gave him a fair chance, and, you know, it's just – it's a real clusterfuck down there. And, you know, it's going to take a good game coming out in Miami or against Miami to kind of wash all that away. And I certainly hope they produce that on Sunday. No complaints about night games, but now we have the rare noon game. So, you know, there's another scheduling thing where we've been playing the nights for the last 6 weeks, and now we're back to noon again. So, you know, it never stops until the end of the season. But and now the Packers are coming up, like I said they would be. So it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, and obviously the Packers letting go of their long-time coach McCarthy, and you know, Zimmer and both Mike Zimmer and Rich Spielman, are their contracts are up at the end of next year, something we'll talk about in the off season. You're right, maybe it needs some retooling and maneuvering on that offensive line. Obviously, the more you look at it, Nick Easton was a guy that could get out in space. He was a guy that was starting to really develop into a pretty solid offensive lineman, and you know, that hurt us there. And there is some hope that maybe that injury just needed, you know, that time. And there is actually some hope out there that he may rejoin at some point. Now, that's just, you know, that's speculation. But and also the vet that we had forever that played guard and center, Berger. Thank you. You know, was he this all pro? No, but he's very solid, and he's been solid for what, the last 4 or 5 years? We missed that too, and then we got some guys that are not in the spots that we even signed in the positions we signed them as a free agent. Obviously, you know, the center coming back, F line, you know, after that injury, coming in here, just didn't quite get a full great off season to get stronger and to come in healthy. He kind of just came into the season and he struggled at times as well. He may make a good play, but then he'll struggle and let someone go free. So yeah, I mean, some of this stuff, well, obviously, come February and March, we'll be talking about for our free agency shows, both pre and post. Of course, for our draft, pre and post. And then even that second layer of free agency as well, that we're, you know, we're definitely – the Purple People Eaters podcast is going to be year-round. It's not just going to be a weekly year-round, that's all. I did think the secondary played pretty damn well. It was nice to see Holton Hill made a couple of plays, by the way. I thought a couple of really good plays, a couple of them in the end zone. I think two of them that stood out to me. So that's just good in general to have him around. But, yeah, there's not much more that I even want to talk about when it comes to that that game, and much rather kind of look towards Miami. Anything else you got on that the debacle that was the Monday Night Football primetime game where we got embarrassed?
Nah, you know, I think you're right. Let's put that one to bed. If we were coaches, we'd say, we're not even going to watch the film on that. We'll just move forward to the next one. Miami coming in, just won a big game against the team that beat us previously, the New England Patriots, albeit on a kind of an odd play at the end, but a win is a win and it counts. So I think they're coming in on pretty good energy. They're working hard. And so I think this is going to be a tougher game than we anticipated it would be. I think Brock Osweiler is starting this one, or at least Tannehill is questionable in this one. So that kind of bodes well. Osweiler is kind of a statue, so I think we'll be able to get after him a little bit. The running game's good with Drake and Gore, looking tough as far as that's concerned. I think we've got him in the secondary. You're right, Hill played well, and it was Hill and Rhodes for most of that game, and Hill's really held up all year for an undrafted free agent. I'm really impressed by him. He's got good size, and I think he's got a bright future playing for us, and kind of helps us with a little bit of the secondary depth going into the offseason. Of course, we'll get Hughes back, and we'll be able to make some moves there, I think. We really just need to get some offensive linemen in here, whether they're drafted or free agents or guys off the street, whoever can come and play, come out of retirement, whatever. We need to get some guys in here. But I think we've got a good chance here against Miami. They look like a Miami team. I'm not sure what their record is. I think it's somewhere near 500, just like us. So I think it's a battle of two 500 teams. I like the Vikings in it. I think we're going to win pretty big. There's a lot of stuff on the line as far as a new coordinator, being at home, trying to get the running game going, everybody kind of be juiced up on the offensive side. So I really like what we got going here. I think we're going to win this one pretty handily. I'm going to say 32-10, something like that. I think the offense really, really comes out and plays well here. I think the defense will play as well as they have been playing. Now, the flip side of that coin is that it could go the exact opposite if my confidence in the offense and it doesn't go the way I think it's going to go, and they're again three and out, miss pass, sack. If that continues, then I could just flip that score around and I see Miami winning that. But if I'm going to go and I'm going to bet on this one, I'm going to go with probably some 28-10, 32-10 Vikings.
Yeah, and whether it is Tannehill or, you know, Osweiler, I mean, I guess he's going to give it he's not healthy, fully healthy, they say, but it's December. Who the hell's fully healthy? But, you know, if they're going to give it a practice, he's going to give it a go, I guess. We'll see. You're right. They're coming off that hook and ladder touchdown from last week, beating them 34-33, Parker and Drake, not Drake, Kenyon Drake from Bama. So that was pretty crazy. And, you know, they still get the freaking Frank Gore, dude. 35 years old, Frank Gore, splitting carries with the young Drake. You got to love it. Of course, they don't run the ball that well. But, you know, we don't either. You know, we're down to 85 now yards. I remember when we were in the 90s there for a second. Boy, those were the days.
Those were the days.
Down to 85. Those were the days, man. They don't get to the quarterback a whole lot. I think it's, let me see here, 22 sacks. So they actually do, though, create some turnovers, especially interceptions. So that's kind of a weird little that maybe they just get that pressure, you know, and get those hits. I'm not sure. They have a corner, Howard. Forgot his first name, but he's been pretty damn good this year. And of course, they have the Kyle Fuller from Virginia Tech, but it's not 100% if he's going to be a go. Just looking at some of this stuff here, Morgan might be back. Hopefully, he'll be back. The blocking tight end that every once in a while will catch a pass. Mike Remmers is questionable. Kendricks is questionable, and Sheldon Richardson is questionable. Defensively, stat-wise, you know, our defense of stats should look better. It's a combination of giving up late points and some of them obviously not having to do anything with whether it's a pick six or a fumble recover, what touchdown has nothing to do with the defense, and those early games where they actually weren't playing up to snub. So I'm with you. I don't know if I'm as confident as you are. They can't stop the run. They're giving up almost 140 a game, and that's substantial in the pros. So I am with you. I think the Vikes will get the W. Let's see. The over-under is set at 44.5. So your score might be right there, actually, now that I look at it. I'm going to go 27 to 13 or 27 to 16, something like that. But I do think these Vikings of ours are going to turn it around and get the W. Isn't it crazy, though, that, like, the four teams, obviously, like I said earlier, there was a fifth team because obviously us in Seattle. And whoever was going to win that game was going to solidify strengthening their fifth spot there, the top guard, I guess you could say. We're still in sixth. And the other three teams that are close, they all fucking lost, too. It's like this NFC, beyond the top teams, it just kind of looks real mediocre to almost garbage. It's funny how nobody won except Seattle when everybody needs a win at this point.
Yeah, it really is. And it's hard to tell if that's just a bunch of good teams you taking each other out or if it's a bunch of bad teams not being able to win. Chicago's good, but they're not that good, and they're going to sit in the third seed. We're pretty well ensconced into the sixth seed, barring disaster. I think if we win 2 or 3, we're pretty much set for the sixth seed. As disappointing as that might be, it's still a chance. It's hard to really gauge what the NFC is, even at the top with the Rams coming up to Chicago and getting their butts whooped. So, you know, I got a lot of faith in the Rams. I think they're a good football team. They just it's wintertime now. If they find themselves playing in L.A. the whole time, which it appears they will, I like their chances. But if they have to go on the road, it could get a little dicey. So I know a lot of faith
Chicago.
In them.
We saw that in that Chicago game. You know how cold it was. They weren't doing much.
No, they really weren't. And, you know, over on the AFC, you've got the two powerhouses over there with Kansas City, who's playing tonight, and New England Patriots seem to be the cream of the crop over there, maybe the San Diego Chargers. Are in that mix too. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air, and then the rest of the AFC is kind of in that middle sort of the mix of teams beating up on each other. So, you know, you've got the elite teams, and then everybody else seems to be fairly equal, and then maybe some teams on the bottom. I'm pretty confident the Vikings will get the sixth seed. They have to win 2 or 3, and I think there's some scenarios where even if they win one, they still have it. The Packers are coming up, though, and, you know, if they win out and we lose 2, then, you know, they've got a chance to take that sixth seed from us.
Yep.
So you got to watch that over across the river. But nonetheless, I like our chances being the sixth seed.
Carolina 6-7. Philly, Washington 6-7. Green Bay 5-7-1. You're right. That is the last team that can actually probably get in is Green Bay at this point, because Tampa Bay has 8 losses, and I think that they're, well, who knows. But yeah, man, you're right. It's still right in front of us. I mean, 2 out of 3 could get us in, but if we just won out, that would be a wrap. And you just don't know what Chicago, you know, what they're going to be playing for at that time. You just never know. You know, they may just be like, I think we got – it matters kind of what Dallas does as well. And now Dallas is surging. So, yeah, man. let's just hope we get this W. That's all we really got to hope for. Anything else on this Dolphins matchup going on high noon Sunday? Do or die, win, go home almost?
Well, it's really hard to say anything about it because we don't know what you're going to see out there with Stefanski and the mood of the team and everything. You just don't know how they're going to come out and play. So you got to give them the benefit of the doubt, which we've been doing all season somewhat unsuccessfully. But you got to do it here thinking that, you know, just a change of any kind is going to energize them. And that's why I'm giving them the nudge in this game.
He's going to come out. We're going to do 18 play-action passes right off the bat, dude. It's going to be a brand-new system. I cannot wait. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, you can find it right here. We stream it live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It's under the Ropeadope Radio umbrella, so it's streamed live. It archives right here. It's basically the headquarters. You can also find the Ropeadope Radio podcast to listen to the Purple People Eaters podcast. All over the place. You can find it on iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, all sorts of different places. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can find that everywhere. Subscribe to it, the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can also stream it live on iHeartRadio in Spotify. You can check out the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can, all the shows are underneath there, but the Purple People Eaters podcast is right there. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. You know why? Read an article while you're at it. Listen to a podcast. And hey, why not place a bet, right? It'll send you right to mybookie.ag. So, my co-host, something just happened. I'm not quite sure. I don't think it's – oh, there we go. I see him. All right. He thought I lost
I'm
there
back.
For a second. All right. He's back.
Yeah, I'm back. Just did that thing where it died again, and I just had to call back in.
All right. Cool. We've been doing a Minnesota football segment here, and we're going to get back to it once it's a little closer to the bowl game and whatnot and post-bowl game and all that type of stuff. But the last couple of episodes, we've been talking Minnesota basketball. Now, we understand this is a Vikings podcast, and that's why we're doing it at the end. We're just kind of telling you what's next. After the weekly Purple People Eaters podcast that we started a little while ago, once the season's over, and we're still holding out, saying the season's going to be over in February, okay? We're going to get the sixth seed. We're going all the way. But anyway, whenever the season's done, right, we're going to switch mode into Minnesota basketball. Now, that is obviously Gopher basketball and Timberwolves basketball. So that's why we're kind of talking B-ball on the last part of this show. So we're just giving you a heads up. That'll be a weekly show all the way through both seasons as well, Gopher and Timberwolves. So just a heads up, trying to get you out there. And when I say weekly, it could be in 5 days, it could be an 8 day, gap. It really matters because of the schedule, the scheduling and whatnot. But anyway, the Timberwolves kind of come back to earth defensively last night. It's pretty crazy, dude. They scored freaking 80 points in the second half. Shot like 50%. It was nuts. And the problem is the Kings scored 78. In fact, it was the highest scoring half since the Rockets and the Nuggets. This is back in January 10th, 1991. We combined last night in the second half for $158. They had $162. The Rockets scored 94. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's pretty crazy. But anyway, just kind of come back to earth. I guess the positive thing that you can take, Rose is still playing, knock on wood. And two, Wiggins has found his groove. Now we just got to blend it all back. As far as the Minnesota Gopher tip, we're about to hit that 10-day break or 9-day break. I think we did, actually. We got to win a closer than expected game last night. I know that team is, you know, the hardworking mid-major team or whatever, but, and I know they hit threes and they hit a bunch of them. And Sacramento actually, what, they hit 19 last night? I think it was. Would have been nice to get that game, but the Gophers won their last two games since we last talked. Two Wednesdays ago, that big Nebraska victory, that was huge. Now we're, you know, to go 1-1 now in conference play. We got a couple of more games, and then I think it's January 3rd that we, you know, get it going again for the Big Ten. But a positive off of that last game, and just of late, I'd say, but Isaiah Washington had his best game pretty much as a Gopher. No turnovers, had a bunch of assists. I think he got all the way to 13. That's a huge, huge, huge thing. And when Dupree was out, the starting senior guard, because of his mom passing, and, you know, thoughts and prayers go out for the family and whatnot, like 7-8 members of the team are headed out there actually today for the funeral and whatnot. But, yeah, they're on their break right now. But, yeah, Isaiah Washington, you know, he the last maybe 6 to 8 games, you could see him come on last year. And it's been really hit or miss this year, but he put together a hell of a game last. Anything T-Wolf, Gopher stuff that you want to talk about before we get out of here, sir?
I'll just brush on the T-Wolves here. Yeah, you're right. They gave up a heck of a lot of points last night in the second half, scoring 80 themselves. So I guess everybody just said, let's not play defense and get out there and play an all-star game. And we came up on the wrong side of that. I thought the note of that game was by Litza, played with us last year, and for a few years before that, he kind of was put the dagger in last night. So, you know, guys leaving here and then playing well other places. It's distressing, but it's a theme that keeps reoccurring here in Minnesota. So, you know, it's good to see that is continuing. And then, like you said about Isaiah Washington, for the Gopher basketball team, Curry looks like he'll be back after the break, which is nice. I'm glad they didn't get him out there before. I thought, you know, if you're going to have a 10-day break and he's coming off an injury, you might as well just sit him and let him get through those 10 days and then bring him out, come out strong going into the Big Ten season and hope that he can hold up through that, get him some more practices and let him mesh with the guys a little bit more. So I thought that was a good decision by Pitino. And then Isaiah Washington, you know, I think it's possible the coaches said, you know, don't shoot. Go out there and affect the game, play defense, make assists, don't shoot. I don't think he had many shots at all. Just till you get your feel back and start to feel, kind of get in the game, make it easier on yourself when you do decide to score. So it was nice to see him. I thought some of the way he saw the court, his vision was there. You could see it. He wasn't so concerned about shooting threes or taking off balance shots. Really thought that he got a lot of other guys involved. It was obvious by his 13 assists. So I was really happy to see that. And it's like you said, that's huge. Going in, you need that point guard who can kind of facilitate things and just take a hold of that position. We really don't have that. We have Amir playing it sometimes. And I like Amir more at the 2/3. I think that's where he's going to be most effective, maybe handle the ball a little bit. But if Isaiah can come up and be the point guard that he can be, I think that really makes us a tough out in the tournament looking forward. And even in the Big Ten, also helps us with depth and you can play more minutes, which is great. So a lot of good things happening for that squad. Let's hope that continues. Really impressed by them so far with that win over Nebraska. They handled the two mid-major teams pretty well. And, you know, it's going to be a tough Big Ten season. Michigan's good. Everybody's good. There's really, you know, maybe with the exception of Penn State, everybody can beat anybody on any night in any building. So it's going to be a tough Big Ten schedule. I think 10 wins going into the Big Ten schedule is going to be enough to – I mean, you can get 10 Big Ten wins this year. 20 wins will get you in the tournament, especially with the schedule that we have played here in the non-conference season. So I think that's looking really good for the Gopher basketball team. I hope they stay healthy and move forward. Timberwolves just, you know, they need to get back in the defense, back to what got them their nice little win streak there, which was playing strong defense. I think that – those two things for both squads are kind of what they need to continue to do throughout the rest of the winter.
Yeah, you're right. Washington, really, the way he was dribbling, and he can really get into the paint. he was really seeing those defend or the you know his teammates. I mean, he made a couple of passes. So I was like, dude, I remember seeing this on tape before you came here. Like, that's a good that's just a fundamentally good pass. But you also used your, you know, like you said, don't shoot the threes. You also used your ability to dribble and get in the lane. There was a couple times where he just worked himself under the basket and everything, and ended up making the right play. So let's hope we can keep that going. I'm with you there, as far as Amir. I do like him off guard. I mean, he can do it. He can definitely do it. But you'd like for him not to be point guard, you know, if at all possible. You know, in spots and spurts, matchups, whatever, because he does a good job defensively as well. So yeah, that about wraps it up. Anything else there, sir, before we get the hell on out of here?
No, I think it's going to be a good game on Sunday. Excited to watch it and see what kind of offense we've got going forward.
All right, let's go Vikes. Let's get this W. The playoffs are still the playoffs. I don't care, you know, if we're the, you know, a couple of spots ahead in the draft. And, you know, it is what it is. Let's play to win. That's what it's all about. Go Vikes. And, you know, enjoy the weekend. High noon. Let's get that victory. We are out of here. Peace.
Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback. And when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what? I made it. That will show you. Every dollar worth